Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 16 to 20. This is the third part of this section. The first disciples called, part 3. Well, we've looked at who these men were, and where they were. Where were they? They were in Galilee. And who were they? Well, they were nobodies. They were in darkness. But now I move on to this. I want to look now, in this discourse, briefly, at the very nature of the call. Let me read the words, the relevant words to you. These are the words of Christ. Now, they're only the embryo of the gospel. As in verse 15, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news, and so on. The whole sum of the gospel is not there. Christ hasn't gone to the cross yet. The Spirit hasn't been poured out yet. The great preaching of the gospel has not come in all its force and power. But nevertheless, here is the essence, the embryo, the heart of this gospel call. Let's read the words. Here's what Christ says. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Without delay, he called these two brothers, and they left their father and so on. So this calling, what do we have here? Well, I see two parts here. There is, first of all, the come, the demand, if you like. Or, I would put it another way, the invitation. Or again, it's a command. It's an imperative. It expresses a longing. Come. You can say it in all sorts of ways. Come. It's an imperative setting before these men their responsibility. And the second part of it is this. If you do come, if you do respond, then I will do this. I will make you fishers of men. So there is a demand, a requirement, a responsibility, and there is a promise, an assurance, a confidence given. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. You see, there's the command, there's the invitation, there's the urging. What's that? Look to me and be saved. There's the promise, there's the implication, there's the assurance given. Oh, everyone who thirsteth, come ye. And you come to Christ, and what do you find? Satisfaction, that's what's promised. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's command, and you will be saved. there's the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there is the invitation, there is the command, there is the responsibility, shall be saved. There's the promise, there's the assurance. So Christ says, come. Now what does he mean? Well, keep coming to chapel. No, he doesn't mean that. Keep coming along and hear me preach. No, he doesn't mean that. I should be here next Sunday, and I would come along again and hear me. No, it's come now, isn't it? That's what he's saying. It's not, put it off for a bit and think about it. Come to me. Now, let's be clear here. He's not saying follow me in the sense of try and do what I do and then you might get somewhere. Come and submit to me. Come and bow to me. Come and yield to me. Come and obey me in the gospel. Do I command you to repent? Then repent. Do I command you to believe? Then believe. Do I urge you? Do I press you? Do I say, oh, Jerusalem, all Jerusalem? Do I say that? I do. I stretch out my arms to you. I stretch out my hands to you. I plead with you. Will you not come? You see, this is the urgency of it all. Notice it's come to me. Not come to church. Not come to chapel. Not come to religion. Not come to Christendom and all that kind of nonsense. The text, you see, that we will come to when we go on through the letters is Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. Yeah, Christ is everything. Come to me, he says. That's what he's urging. Salvation is in Christ. Deliverance is in Christ. These people are in darkness. Light is in Christ. These people are far off. Nearness is in Christ. He will draw sinners close to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through, by, in me. Obey me, submit to me, repent, believe, obey the gospel, trust me. Of course, the full essence of the gospel, the full power, the full revelation of the gospel is not here in this text. But that's what we have in the New Testament. I will save you. There's the promise. I will do this. I will make you. I will this. I will the other. It's not human effort. It's a sovereign act of grace and mercy. That's what Christ is offering. And these people have to leave their nets. They have to leave their family. They have to leave their boats. They have to leave their business. This is a dramatic thing here. But in essence, that's the truth of it is. We have to put Christ before family and friends and career and everything else. Well, I'm so busy. I've got this to do. Of course you have. But you've got an eternity to face, my friend, as well. Have you thought about that? Come to Christ and be saved. When I was a young believer, people used to tell me, well, I remember a man saying once, you won't have to give up anything, David. You won't have to give up anything, you know. He was absolutely wrong. I have to give up everything. Man must deny himself and come to Christ. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Acts 16:30-31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, I know here the promise is especially for these apostolic men. These men are beginning to become apostles and have become fishers of men, but this is true, in essence, for all believers. We are all out to see sinners saved. We're all out to fish for men. We're all out to see other people hear the gospel invitation. We seek to persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we seek to persuade men. The love of Christ constrains us, and so on. Yes, these men are nobodies. Acts 4:13, they never learned anything, they don't know anything, they haven't got 2 acres together, rubbed together to make a penny. No, they're nobody. But they're equipped with power. That's what Christ says. You will be able to persuade sinners, not in yourself, but by the power of the Spirit. God will save sinners through you. I can't do it. Do I hear you say that? Philippians 2:12-13, you go on working, my brother and sister. I'm talking to believers now, not unbelievers. Go on working, brother and sister. Christ will work in you. Unbeliever, there's no working at all. The work was done by Christ. You come. Come and rest in Jesus. Come and look to Jesus. And do it now. I hope these words from Thomas Howes will be some help to you. From the cross uplifted high, where the Saviour deigns to die, he's taken us to the other end. Now Christ has lived his life, he's offered it up in sacrifice to the Father on the cross. He's dying for the imputed righteousness of his people. He's dying to save sinners. What melodious sounds I hear from the cross, bursting on my ravished ear. Love's redeeming work is done. Come and welcome, sinner, come. Sprinkled now with blood the throne, why beneath thy burdens groan? On my pierced body laid, justice owns the ransom paid. Bow the knee and kiss the Son, come and welcome, sinner, come. Spread for thee the festal board, see with riches dainties stored, to thy Father's bosom pressed, yet again a child confessed, never from his house to roam. Come and welcome, sinner, come. Soon the days of life shall end. Lo, I come, your Saviour friend, safe your spirit to convey to the realms of endless day, up to my eternal home. Come and welcome, sinner, come. Come and welcome to Jesus, my friend. Oh, come and prove the promise true. Obey the command. Repent and believe. Trust Christ. Come to him. Leave all and forsake all. Repent and call upon the name of the Lord and prove salvation true in your case. I urge you in Jesus' name. Amen.